So he had to breathe into the nostril of that dust. Now, when you want to create any object in engineering, you must have what is called a cast. All right? A cast is, you have to create the cast first. Like if you, let me give you a small example of what a cast is. If I want to create my feet, if I want to mold my feet using anything, silver, gold, or anything, I have to bring mud and put my leg, then I will mold the mud around my leg, form the mud around my leg, all right? Then I will take my leg out. It will leave exactly the shape of my feet, all right? I mean to say the feet, okay? Now, when I now melt silver or copper or any metal, I pour it inside that cast and I leave it there to cool down. When I now break the cast and bring it out, it will take the shape of my leg. So now the flesh is the cast that God has casted. He now breathed his spirit into the flesh. So the flesh takes the shape of the spirit of man, takes the shape of the body of man. So the spirit of man have eyes, nose, mouth, ears, hands, legs, everything that the body has. So the spirit of man is a body, a spiritual body, casted within the physical body of the flesh. Then God took those words he spoke and put it in the spirit. So the spirit lives in the flesh and the word lives inside the spirit. Now that word is the man. And that word is called the soul. So the definition that says that, where pastors sometimes say, man is a spirit, he has a soul and lives in a body, is the wrong definition of man. That was taken out of John chapter 4 when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well of Samaria. All right? That is where they reach that conclusion, because Jesus said to the woman, God is a spirit. They that must worship God will worship God in spirit and truth. So the people now say, if we are in the image and the likeness of God, and if God is a spirit, then it means man is a spirit that has a soul and lives in a body. No. Man is a soul. That word God spoke is the soul of man. Is what man, the essence of man. That's why the Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul, not loses his spirit? It is the soul that goes to hell, not the spirit. Why God gave the flesh the spirit is so that the man will not walk in the flesh, but walk in the spirit. Because with the spirit body, the man can talk with God, meet with God, think with God. With the physical body, he can eat rice, eat beans, do things around. Okay? So he gave him dual body. The soul of man lives in the spirit body, and the spirit of that man lives in the body, in the flesh. So when man disobeyed God, his spirit body decayed, died, perished, died. It began to die. Making the soul of the man to come in direct contact with the flesh. Therefore, man began to receive his direction from the five senses. No longer from God. For God cannot speak to flesh. God speaks to spirit. So God speaks to man through his spirit. So when spirit is cut off, God is cut off. For God cannot communicate with man. So man will have to be receiving his communication from the environment that is around him. That is what is called the first death that Adam died. For he died to God. And God was dead to him. His spirit could no longer live and communicate with God. So he went about seeking for direction from how the flesh will guide him. Do you understand? So that man, Adam, is the will of God, how God wanted humanity to be. It is that Adam that we are now being by Christ. When Christ comes into your life, you are now born again into that Adam that we are supposed to be his children. The second Adam, the Adam that fell, which is represented by John the Baptist. That Adam that was driven out of the garden with the skin, animal skin. That Adam is not supposed to be our father. A fallen Adam is a fallen human race. The Adam that did not fall is the type of Adam that God wants all of us to be. That is why God sent Jesus in the nature of the first Adam to die to the first Adam, that he may rise up in our soul as the living, as the spirit, giving life to our human spirit. That human spirit that Christ gave life to is what is called born again. That means our spirit has been born again. Born again. It was born before, but it's born again into the likeness of the first Adam, because Jesus, being the second Adam, came in the likeness of the first Adam. That is why as Christians we can now hear God. We can now by faith, for now it's by faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Hear God. Walk with God. So Adam did not need to be born again. If Adam needed to be born again, it would mean that God planned the fall of Adam, that Adam may fall into sin, so that he will come and die for Adam and get him born again. He didn't need. Because if God planned the fall of Adam, then God would have been the architect of that temptation. And God said in the book of James that God tempts no man. So God was not the one who tempted Adam in that garden. So God never set a trap for Adam to fall so that he will now come and die and redeem Adam. So the plan of God was never including the fall of Adam. He never intended to have any other man other than Adam. Adam was the perfect image and likeness of him. But because of the fall, he has to send another image and likeness of him as the second Adam, which is Christ, to come and do what the first Adam didn't do as a result of the fall, so that he can raise us back to the status of the first Adam. Amen?
Amen.
So when you say here, Adam was not born again. No. This born again that we are, that is what Adam was. This born again that we are, that is what Adam was. It is us that is born again like Adam was born. Adam didn't need to be born again. He only needed to be born. Because if you say you have to be born again, you must die to be born again. You must sin to be born again. And God didn't plan the death of Adam. He didn't plan the sin of Adam. You understand? So Adam is excluded in those who were not born again. Number one. The error I'm correcting. Adam is excluded in those who were not born again, because he did not need to be born again. The number two man that is excluded in those who are not born again, I will come back to Adam, but the number two man is Abraham. Abraham was the first born again Christian. So let me prove it to you. Amen?
Amen.
So, that is why you cannot defeat tithing in the church. You will only speak against tithing, you can't defeat it. Amen?
Amen.
Twice in the Bible, God revealed where Abraham received Christ as Lord. Though we may call it in a shadow, but he received it for us. Abraham is our new father instead of Noah. And Noah was the new father instead of Adam. When Adam failed, Noah was the next father that God raised to bless the new mankind. But Noah failed also, and Abraham became the next father. In thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So he became the third father. But this time God said, I will not destroy the world so that I can grow your family. No. Leave the world the way it is. I'm going to save the world. But before I save the world, I must save you. For you are the father of the nations. I must save you. So the first place that God saved proved that he brought salvation into the life of Abraham. Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. Hallelujah. Are you listening? So Abraham was born again. Adam did not need to be born again, because he is the one that is born, which we are born again unto. For that is how we were supposed to be before we fell. Are you getting my point now? Because what Abel Damina is trying to tell us is that the entire creation was created and Christ was to be revealed to us. So the entire from Adam to John the Baptist, we're working towards the revelation of Christ to the world. So that when we give our life to Christ, then we start living a life that is better than the life before Christ. And I say that is not so. It's only half truth. Amen?
Amen.
You need to understand this. That Jesus, let me first of all finish with this before I go back to that one I want to say. God, it will lead us somewhere else. So, verse 18 of Genesis 14, see where Abraham was first born again. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thy enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Now, listen to this. This high priest connected Abraham with God. Abraham was not connected to God before. He only heard God saying, leave your father's house. But when he met with the high priest of God, the Lord took the hand of God, took the hand of Abraham, and joined it. That's why Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted my hand to the Most High God. I have entered into agreement with the Most High God. So I cannot take anything from you. All that I have must come from him. That's what he says. So you can't take glory for whatever I become tomorrow. Now, the key lies in verse 18. He brought bread and wine. That is holy communion. Before he pronounced the blessing, he brought bread and wine. What is bread? We go to the book of to the epistle and see. He brought bread and wine. In the Last Supper. I have preached this in our former release. And people will only have to refer to that because I don't have time to repeat what I've already done. But let's see what this one says. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said to the bread, concerning the bread in verse 19. He said, this is my body which is given to you. That is the bread that Jesus took. He called it his body, which is given to us. This do in remembrance of me. Then verse 20. Likewise also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the cup of my new testament in my blood, which I shed for you. When you now go to the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews now tell us that Melchizedek that appeared to Abraham in a shadow is Christ that has appeared to us. So what did the Melchizedek bring to Abraham? And what is the bread? His body, which will be crucified. What is the blood? The wine. His blood that will be shed. So it means that Abraham received the body and the blood of Jesus. Because Jesus said, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood shall live. So Abraham ate the flesh and the blood, drank the blood of Jesus. When Melchizedek visited him, and Melchizedek is our Jesus according to the book of Hebrews. So Abraham received Jesus into his life as Lord and Savior. That is why he blessed Abraham. For he cannot bless Abraham if Abraham does not accept the bread and wine. And Abraham responded to that blessing with tithe. So Abraham paid the tithe of the New Testament. For the blood is the blood of the New Covenant. The blood that Melchizedek brought is the blood of the New Testament. Symbolic of the body and the blood of Jesus. So Abraham ate that body and blood. The tithe he paid was not in the Old Testament. It was not under the law. But he paid the tithe of a New Testament. Abraham gave his life to Christ on that day. That's why Jesus said, Abraham saw my day and was glad. The people say, have you seen Abraham? You are not yet 50. You say, he said, before Abraham was, I am. So I am that person that came to Abraham. And I introduced myself to him. I opened his eyes to see this day that we are standing. And he was happy that I am coming to redeem his children. He was the first to be born again. That is why paradise is called the bosom of Abraham. Not the bosom of Adam. Not the bosom of Noah. But the bosom of Abraham. For he is the father of those who are to be born again. So they waited there for Jesus to come and save them. Under the bosom of Abraham. Who was already born again by eating the body and the blood of Jesus. So let me show you another one verse that tells you that Abraham was born again. There are two things that happened that brought Abraham into the status of the born again. For if Abraham was not born again, we cannot be born again. For we are the children of that Abraham. It is the faith of Abraham that gets us born again. For the same faith he showed in Melchizedek is the faith we show in Jesus when we receive him. That is why the Holy Communion can never be taken out of the church. So no one can argue against the Holy Communion. The Holy Communion was not a Passover. It was an introduction of a New Testament to be done to remind us of what Christ has done. Even though we are already in it and enjoying it, yet we do it from time to time to be reminded. Those objects are not idols. They are not idolatry. They are reenactment of what Christ has done. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
So the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, in the book of Hebrews, as you see the man of, as you see Abel Damina saying, that the faith of Hebrews is not the faith of the New Testament believer. That is not so. If you look at chapter 10 first, you will see verse 35, he says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Now, even we that are Christians, none of us have received the promise. Abel teaches that we are already in the promise. None of us have received the promise. He said, when we have done well, after we have been patient, we shall receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, will Jesus come again? Yet a little while, he that shall come, Abel said Jesus will not come again, he will only appear. But here, yet a little while, he that shall come, will come. So Jesus will come. And will not tarry. Now, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall not have pleasure, shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. The moment as a Christian, you start backsliding, you are heading towards perdition. Meaning you have lost your faith in what lies ahead. Amen? But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So though we are born again, we have to continue believing till when Jesus will come and harvest us, which is called the saving of the soul. So we must endure all things. So our soul has not yet been saved. been saved in the sense that it has not been harvested. All human beings that are on earth in Christ Jesus are still on earth waiting for the harvest, waiting for when Jesus will put in the sickle. So if Jesus put in the sickle on earth today and reap me from the world, my own soul has been saved. I have already been taken out to go into the barn. Amen? Which is heaven. So we are working towards the saving of our souls. There's a time when Jesus will come in the time of the rapture and take us home. Every soul will be saved at once. But for now, we are saved when we die. That is to say, the soul is harvested when a man dies. His own soul has been harvested. So some people wait for the coming of the Lord and they get tired. And they start backsliding. I bet this Christian something, Nafabu. Which time will Jesus come? How long will it take with Jesus come? It is that kind of thing that make Abel to say coming of Jesus is not going to happen. It is his appearance. And where will he appear from? Because he lives in us, he will appear from us. But what this Bible is saying, that he shall come. Then, after telling us that that the just shall live by faith, verse chapter 11 now said, he now explained, he said, now, let me define the faith I'm telling you that the just shall live by. Who are the just? We, who have been justified. Now, let me show you what faith I mean. Now, he now used the people of old to explain the faith he's asking us to live by. He said, now, let me define what I mean by faith. Now, faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of a thing not seen. So that is the definition of faith. He now showed us how faith worked for people who lived before us. So there is no other definition of faith for the New Testament believer. Amen?
Amen.
For none of us can receive the promise in this life. We will only die and receive the promise after life. No one can enter promised land in this life. No one enters heaven in this life. And that is one of the errors of Abel. Every believer will hope and believe in hope and die and then obtain the promise in the afterworld. So we are like those people who waited for the promise and did not see it. But did they get the promise? Yes, they did. Because Jesus went to the bosom of Abraham and took them from there and went to heaven. So they got the promise. So we also wait for the promise by faith. And we will get it when we die. The Lord will take us to the land of promise.
Amen.
Which he promised us. His presence, where we will live with him forever and ever. Salvation is not the promise. Salvation is the beginning of faith towards the promise. The promises are two. The serpent is lifted up in the wilderness, and I will be lifted up, that whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have eternal life. Promise number one is fulfilled whenever we believe. Promise number two, for God so loved the world that believe, the ones that are the believers who have believed. Why? Because Jesus said, the Father loveth you because you have believed that I came forth from the Father. So the love is towards those who believe. Amen?
Amen.
He so loved them that believe that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe, which is those ones who have believed in the son, those who have believed in the cross and have become the children of God, that those people who believe shall not perish but have everlasting life. So eternal life is not everlasting life. You get eternal life first, then by faith, you walk in eternal life till the day of your death, where you will now enter into everlasting life. So two promises. One is being fulfilled here. The other one will be fulfilled when we are done with here.
Right on, sir.
So did Abraham obtain any promise here? He did. Look at verse 11. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. He received the promises. Then he offered up his only begotten son. By faith, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. You understand what I mean? That means Abraham believed the death of Jesus. For Isaac was a figure, a representative of Christ, the only begotten son of Abraham. So God was showing Abraham something. I will give my only begotten son in the future. So you bring your only begotten son. When he gave it up in Abraham's heart, he has given Isaac to die, and God has received Isaac. Even though physically God didn't slay Isaac, but God gave Isaac back to Abraham, which is a type of the resurrection of Jesus. So Abraham believed both in the death and in the resurrection of Jesus. In that action, that's the second time we see God confirming Abraham being born again. Do you understand now? For the death and the resurrection of Isaac was a figure of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. So twice, God showed himself to Isaac, to Abraham, as Melchizedek and as Isaac. And both Abraham believed. So Abraham was born again. That is why he is the father of those born again believers. So Abraham never walked in the Old Testament. He is the father of the New Testament. It's because he was born again. That is why we who believe are called sons of Abraham. So it is his kind of faith that we have. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
So the kind of faith we have as Christians is this faith that Abraham had. For he believed. He saw twice, he received Christ into his life. Twice in a figure. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 So you see that Abraham gave his life to Christ. It is written there twice. So of all these people, Abraham was born again. Adam did not need to be born again, because he is the one that we are being born again to be like. God has never been seen by any man but Adam. God saw Adam. Adam saw God. Adam felt, met God. It's from the fall of Adam that the veil, the curtain was pulled. No man saw God again. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.